Old Testament reading for the last Sunday of the church here is from Ezekiel chapter 34. For thus says the Lord God, Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and up on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land. And on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured. And I will strengthen the weak and the fat, and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, Behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you push with side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns till you have scattered them abroad, I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is accepted who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Jesus said, When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right, Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you, from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me, naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked, or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson that was just read. You know, children are very focused when it comes to special days. They seem to know how many days until the next big holiday. They'll ask the questions, when is my birthday? I always love the little ones the day after Halloween or the week before Halloween. They're already planning the next year what they're going to wear as a costume. Some people have a countdown to when their vacation begins, and more common is how many days until retirement. But Judgment Day usually is not one of the days that people look forward to or count. It's not the high point of the church calendar. Usually we say Christmas and Easter are the high points. Now, Uncle Fred will come to church on Christmas and at Easter, but I don't think Uncle Fred has ever come to church on Judgment Day Sunday. We usually think of Jesus as telling good stories with a point. We don't think about him sitting on his throne in heaven, judging the world. It's a teaching we can't ignore, Judgment Day, because it is in the Bible, and there's a fair amount of print dedicated to it. The picture, the text for today, the picture in it, is a pretty vivid picture. Heaven and hell are equal in the fact that they both go in opposite directions, and they're both forever. Heaven and hell are polar extremes. To one group, Jesus says, come. To the other group, he says, depart. In 2 Thessalonians 1:9, he describes hell by saying, they will be punished with an everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. Last week, we looked at the parable of the talents. And remember the servant who only had been given one talent, went hid and buried it. And when his master came back, his master was furious with him and had him cast out in the outer darkness where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. Revelation 20 adds a bit more to the picture of hell itself, calls it a lake of fire. Imagine living without God's presence. That's what hell ultimately is living without God's presence. But heaven is the exact opposite. Heaven is living in the presence of God's grace. Revelation 7 says of heaven, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of his throne will be their shepherd, and he will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Jesus said in today's gospel lesson, the ones that he said, come to my Father's kingdom, the kingdom prepared for you since the beginning of the world. Heaven was not created after the fall of Adam and Eve. It was created with the creation of the world. It was prepared for believers who would live thousands of years later as well. But hell was never made for mankind. It's the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. But like it or not, well, I should say, there are two ways that everyone goes. Either an eternity of happiness with God, an eternal heaven, or the eternal sorrow and agony with Satan in hell. Like it or not, Judgment Day is real, and it's coming. If you ask most people where they're going, they're going to say heaven. Because they'll say, well, basically, I'm a good person. And you might get that impression from the gospel text. Those on the left are cursed. Those on the right are blessed, receive an inheritance, and are called righteous. Paul says in Galatians 3, all who rely on observing the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one is justified by keeping the law, because the Bible says the righteous live by faith. Paul clearly defines the righteous and the cursed. Those under the curse rely on the law to be saved. In other words, if I'm a good enough person, I try to keep the Ten Commandments to the best of my ability, then God will take notice of me and will save me. Those cursed make about as much sense as if, if I told you you had $1 million, but if your $1 million was in Fort Knox under lock and key and guard. Now, you cannot go and make a withdrawal. You have to go and get it yourself. No matter how hard you plot and scheme, you're never going to break into Fort Knox. Not even Tom Cruise and Mission Impossible, Chapter 17. Never going to get into Fort Knox by plotting and scheming a break-in. It's always going to remain there. You're going to get caught, and you're going to spend quite a few years in jail. The law promises the gifts of heaven, but you only get it if you keep the law perfectly, and we all know that we are sinners and do not keep His law perfectly. So you end up under the curse. The principle here is what brings life to the righteous is faith. Paul writes in Galatians 3, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung upon a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessings given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Christ took the curse of the law and nailed it to the tree. He nailed all of our sins to the cross. And that sacrifice was planned before the creation of the world. Now think about that for a second. Before God created Adam and Eve, He knew exactly what they were going to do, how they would affect all of creation for all of time, and what it would take to redeem them from the power of sin, death, and the devil, and all people after them. He knew it would take the sacrifice of His Son, but yet He still created us because He loved us in spite of the cost. Nothing can earn His love. We are given the riches of heaven when God adopts us through baptism into His family. Now, most judges look for evidence before they have the verdict. Well, at least the honest ones. Before judgment, though, we are separated between the sheep on one hand and the goats on the other. God knows the faith that the people have and who does not. If you've repented, admit you're a sinner, and trust Christ above all, you have salvation. You will know where you are going because God knows the heart. The evidence comes afterwards. The judge would point to the great things done by those who inherit eternal life. You know, like starting a mission, memorizing a ton of Bible passages, or giving thousands of dollars to the poor. The evidence that the judge uses is so much more simple, though. It's visiting someone in prison, putting food in a little baby's mouth, putting clothes on a toddler, taking care of the sick. These mundane and seemingly unimportant deeds are the ones that God takes notice of. Again, He doesn't take notice so that He loves us. He takes notice of them because they're what we do in response to what He's done first for us. J. Jesus makes a similar point in Matthew 10. Anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And anyone who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. The reason for the action matters. When it's done out of faith, then it is commendable before God, where the most menial tasks are important. It's important how you view your tasks. Do you get up in the middle of the night out of love for a toddler? When you had your kids when they're that young, did you get up out of bed just because they were screaming and you wanted to go back to bed, or did you do it out of love itself? Thankfulness is proof of God's faith, or faith in God. Thankless tasks are done to His glory. Remember the parable of the prodigal son. The youngest son, who took half his father's inheritance, went away to a foreign land and wasted it. And when he came back, the father took him back through a huge party. The oldest son came in from the field since he heard the party. And what he says is, look, he says this to his father, look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never even gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. Notice how he mentions how he slaved for his father. The parable of the prodigal son shows us the difference in attitude of their actions. The youngest son did not come to the father and say, remember before I left all the things I did on the farm and did for you and did for the family, how I helped out this person. He doesn't come and list all the previous good things he's done. He comes and admits he's not worthy even to be called a son. He comes in with a humble attitude. That's the correct way of viewing what we do. John the Baptist said, when his disciples were beginning to leave him to follow Jesus, John the Baptist said, I must decrease so that he may increase. When Paul was forced to talk about how hard he had worked for the Corinthians, all Paul could say is, I am a fool for speaking in this way. He felt embarrassed to talk about all the things he had done for the people in Corinth. He didn't even want to mention it. You remember the teacher's pet in school? That annoying student who used to suck up to the teacher. And they did it for one reason, either to get better grades or to get an accommodation, you've done a good job. Did anybody here like the teacher's pet? I'm not going to ask if anybody was the teacher's pet. But they're usually the most despised one in class. The people on the left, the goats, get judged because what they did was done for selfish reasons. They didn't do them out of love for the Lord. They wanted God to notice them by saying, God, haven't you noticed how much money I gave? Lord, haven't you noticed how I spent my time feeding the poor? I did all that you asked of me. If I see more, I will do more. But God pays no attention to what they've done. Someday when we meet Jesus, we're not going to be disappointed. He's going to be 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times more than we expect him to be. When he comes, it'll be in his full power and glory. And why not? Why should we not be afraid? Because Christ lived and died and rose for us. He declared us righteous. He gave us an inheritance, not based on what we've done, but based on what Christ has done for us. He will not look at our past sins. Instead, he'll go the extra mile and mention the things that we did out of faith to him. It doesn't seem possible at all, but it's true. But this is what Jesus promises. Look forward to the final judgment in faith. May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.